I was talking to a small business yesterday who asked the question, how do I let my customers know that my costs have gone up considerably, and how do I translate that into raising my own prices in light of everybody being able to hardly afford our product anyway?
Welcome to Lawmakers Spotlight. I'm Donna Lowry. Here you will find in-depth interviews with Georgia lawmakers and leaders on the issues driving the legislative session. These conversations go beyond the headlines to explore how decisions are made and what they mean for you and your community.
From proposed changes to tax incentives to global forces like tariffs and the conflict in the Middle East, for Georgia businesses, the economic outlook is far from certain. I sat down with an extended interview with the president of and CEO of the Georgia Chamber, Chris Clark. We spoke at the historic Georgia Freight Depot just after the Chamber's State of Economic Development event. I began by asking him about that gathering.
We just held our first State of Economic Development. It's one of four that we're doing this year. We did one on higher ed, this one on economic development, another one on energy, and then one on rural Georgia later this year. But our goal here is to bring together economic developers, business leaders from the state, legislators, to talk about the importance of economic growth and the fact that we can't take that for granted. And I feel like we've had, you know, six great years of economic growth under Governor Kemp, and a lot of people have taken that for granted, unfortunately. And we're not that far from a recession or a trade problem. And at the end of the day, we have to continue to work on these issues to create jobs for our kids, create opportunities. And that was our whole conversation today.
So do you feel the business community, there's a little undercurrent about being a little nervous about what's next?
I think what we're seeing is that rise of anti-growth that's out there, right? That rise of NIMBYism, of cave people. And I feel like that's created some concerns at the Capitol, some bills that we've seen this year. You're seeing think tanks in Washington spend millions of dollars now on anti-capitalism, anti-economic development, anti-growth ideas, and propping up groups all over. And that has a negative impact. It sends the wrong message to businesses that are looking to invest at a time of great disruption in the economy. And so part of the effort today is to have those conversations.
I have to ask you, as far as the business community is concerned, how are they reacting to what's going on with the war in Iran?
So I think we're just now starting to see the impacts of that war. We're seeing gas prices now getting close to $4. Diesel is now over $5 a gallon for the first time since, I think, COVID or the Ukraine war. That trickles down. And what that really hurts are those small mom and pops out there that have a small fleet, or maybe it's the guy that's mowing the grass in the neighborhood. It's really impacting those companies. And I think if this continues much longer, particularly as we get into the summer season when gas is normally higher anyway, you're gonna see that trickle down. And then obviously we've heard from our airlines and other partners that are out there that are starting to see an impact already. And we're only, you know, 3 weeks into this. I think that's the first phase that we'll see. The second phase is we use oil in so much of our processing and so many different business sectors that as those prices go up, we're going to see that impact. And then the third thing is, you know, last night they bombed the largest natural gas field in the world. Well, is that going to drive up prices? Because most of our companies in Georgia use natural gas in their production processes. So there's a ripple effect here that on top of tariffs and on top of, you know, this affordability issue that we're having is really going to squeeze what I worry about some of Georgia's small businesses.
So this is kind of a wait and see period to where things might go, but you're starting to see a little happening.
Yeah, you're starting to see it. You're starting to see businesses. I was talking to a small business yesterday who asked the question, how do I let my customers know that my costs have gone up considerably, and how do I translate that into raising my own prices in light of everybody being able to hardly afford our product anyway? And so small businesses are going to be the first. They're always the first to get that impact.
Let's talk about some things over the legislature for
okay.
a while. Georgia is, you know, always been ranked as long as I've been doing this show as one of the best states to do business and all. So what decisions are you watching under the Gold Dome that will make that continue to be something we can brag about in the state?
So I think there's several positive bills, but then there's some defense that we have to play as well, right? I think that 12 years in a row of being best place to do business, it's not just a title. I think it's a philosophy that we have here, that we want to be a place where businesses want to move, where people want to move to. It's important for our long-term growth. One of the things we've got to do is deal with housing. We've got two bills at the General Assembly now to hopefully increase the amount of housing that's built to make it easier for builders to go in and build what one of our panelists today called attainable housing, right? Not workforce housing, not affordable, but just attainable housing. So we're very bullish on getting something across the line there. There's several bills that's come out of the governor's office as well as the speaker and the lieutenant governor to deal with literacy, mathematics, workforce development, apprenticeships, workforce, workforce, workforce every year. So I think those all help considerably. What we have to pay attention to, though, is a lot of the bills that we saw early in this session of taking away incentives or changing tax policy without thinking about the ramifications or impact. That's the ones where we have to play defense, and that's what worries us.
Can you get into that a little bit more? We're talking about the businesses that have been used to getting these tax breaks that to bring in, to get rid of, eventually eliminating the state income taxes. They're looking to take away some of those breaks.
And listen, all of us want to see lower taxes, and I appreciate the fact that in the last 5 years in Georgia, we've given tax rebates every year. We've been able to give them tax rebates because of the economic development investment in the state to offset it. What you don't want to do is to have a company that has made a multi-billion dollar decision to move here, build a new facility, and all of a sudden that maybe it's a tax credit or an incentive that's out there changes or goes away. Well, that upsets their entire, you know, business formula that they made. We made a business case to get them here. And so, listen, nothing's perfect. We get that. Some incentives maybe are outdated. We ought to always look at those. But to just get rid of every single incentive, to do away with them overnight, or to target an industry and companies that are here employing Georgians right now when the economy is so disruptive and so unsettled, just think that sends the wrong message. Businesses love consistency. We want to know what, tell us what the policy is and let us go invest. Right? So you just can't make those changes overnight. And anytime you even debate some of those or drop a bill to get rid of something, you're sending a message. And that message in this economy is not the right message to send.
How do you handle that kind of thing in an election year? The defense part of it.
Well, I think we just have to go out and represent the members and represent economic development and free enterprise in this state. And we go talk to those legislators who drop some of these bills and let them know the problems that we have with them. And most legislators, I think, want to work and realize a lot of times it's unintentional consequences of trying to do something else. So that's what our team is at the Capitol doing every day, is just trying to explain how this impacts business. Obviously, when we get ready to start talking to candidates, which we're already doing, I should say, that are running for office in Georgia, we're going to put out a series of blueprints for them, policy blueprints of here's what's happening in Georgia, here's what's coming, here's what we think ought to happen on incentives, here's what we think ought to happen on taxes, on workforce, and we're going to be sharing those with all the candidates that are running as we move through the next 6-8 months here.
Okay, let's talk about innovation a little bit. We recently did a lawmaker show on innovation and emerging industries. We're seeing this rapid growth in that area, of course, artificial intelligence, data centers, the advanced manufacturing. So what's going on? What can you give us in big picture when it comes to those things?
So I'm a little bit of a history buff now, so let me give you the little history first. You know, this economy was founded on agriculture. In the 1950s, we started recruiting manufacturing. When we recruited manufacturing, we actually grew agriculture in the state. In the 1990s, under Governor Miller, we passed incentives. We started recruiting service industry, tech companies. That helped grow manufacturing, helped grow agriculture. Still solid growth in here. What Governor Kemp's done over the last 5 years is really usher in this innovation economy, which is AI and robotics and all that incredible work, but it's impacting our farmers. It's giving them drones to, you know, they're now as much a soil scientist as they are a farmer, right? And so we're going to see this innovation economy in Georgia that is driven on the back of data impact every single sector. It's going to create incredible jobs. It's going to eliminate some low-skilled jobs, unfortunately. But that's the future. And those communities in Georgia that say, we get it, let's be part of this, let's embrace innovation, let's embrace technology, let's embrace what the next disruption is going to be, those communities are going to do well. And those that don't or that are resistant to change, they're going to fail in the long term. And so this is the future of the economy. And I think data centers in particular, it's as much a part of infrastructure for the future as a highway or a railroad is today. Every business runs on it. And listen, I told somebody the other day, if you don't want a data center in your backyard, then quit posting pictures of your kids' soccer games online every night. That economic development at the end of the day is a response to consumer demand. businesses, government, individuals need data storage. We want it here. It's going to go somewhere. Let's get it in the communities that want it in Georgia. Not every community, but the ones that do. Some companies are going to embrace robotics, invest there. Others aren't. Let's make sure that we've got the right policies in place to facilitate that.
Yeah, so is it telling some business owners there are growing pains, you're going to have to go through it,
yes,
and eventually we'll get to the other side because this is a change, as you've mentioned, some of the history.
It is, but we go through this cycle anytime there's a new technology that comes around, right? It's just part of the economy. It's disruptive. Some companies go out of business because they don't adapt and survive. But we're in a period now, and I love Sam Altman with OpenAI made the comment that the average American now that wants to start their own business has the equivalent of every PhD in the world in their pocket on their phone. And that one person in the near future will be able to create a $1 billion company for the first time in history with just them and AI. That's going to create opportunities for our kids, our grandkids, our rural communities, everyone in this state. And businesses, I think, are trying to figure out. Big businesses are already implementing a lot of AI and automation, quantum computing. We just got to make sure that small businesses in Georgia have the same access to those tools.
That's what I was saying, thinking, what about those mom and pop businesses that are thinking, I can't compete?
Yeah, but they can. They just got to have a little bit different mentality of how do I use this to my advantage? How do I, a great example, I was with one of our members last week, has a small accounting firm, and he talked about how much his company's grown since he started using AI to go search for new clients, to help research them, to study the work that they're doing, to help on the back end, that he now can take a vacation for the first time in the last 20 years. And I think that's a small business that said, you know what, I can use this to my advantage. I just got to put in the time to go figure it out.
I'm going to do something next week dealing with cybersecurity and those kinds of things. What are you doing to educate some of these businesses about the risks that are out there when it comes to those kinds of things?
Well, one of the things I tell businesses, if you haven't been cyber attacked yet, you will be. If you haven't been phished yet, you will be. And if you don't have cybersecurity, you need to treat cybersecurity just like you treat the lock on your front door and the security system that you have watching your facility. It is a consequence of the new economy that we live in. And I think we even saw it last week when Iran was able to cyber attack, you know, healthcare facilities in the U.S. We just have to be prepared for that. Georgia needs about 50,000 more cybersecurity professionals in the coming years because every single business sector is going to need someone that knows how to manage and do that work.
Yeah, I was thinking about the mom and pops again. You know, those businesses, do they have to go find somebody who can help them in
Absolutely.
Case it happens?
Absolutely. And they need to have the same systems in place that a Georgia Power or an AT&T has. And it's a shame that we have to say that, but that's the world that we're living in now. And particularly as you share data, right? That data is out there. And if you get your customers' information hacked, well, you've just lost their trust. And so it's really a matter of trust and how you take care of your customers to make sure that you build that firewall to protect yourself and their information.
That wraps up this episode of Lawmaker Spotlight. These conversations are part of the reporting you see on Lawmakers, our nightly show on GPB TV, covering the Georgia General Assembly. You can watch us weeknights for updates, interviews, and analysis from under the gold dome. I'm Donna Lowry. Thanks for being here.